Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been. Explore where they are going. See what gets them out of bed in the morning. Find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points. We will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Anna Kaziski is all about sharing her story and struggles with school-age kids, athletes and adults to encourage them to achieve their goals in life and what is possible in life beyond their initial goals. She is the podcast host of Aspire Beyond Greatness, is a motivational speaker and social worker. Anna loves to interview anyone that inspires her every day for her podcast. Anna was a world champion rower at 18 and has experienced much for a young person that has left her determined and persistent in being the best version of herself every day. Hi, Anna. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hi, Leanne. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here today.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm really excited to share your story. So shall we get started?
Awesome. Yes, I would love that.
All right. Wonderful. Do you want to tell us a bit about where you are now? What's actually happening for you right now?
Yeah, great question. So I am currently working full-time as a social worker. And I have started my own business, which is called Aspire Beyond Greatness. And what that is that I will be motivational speaking to school-age kids, athletes, and adults. And I also run a podcast. And the idea is that I'm sharing my story with them to empower them to achieve their goals and future life pursuits. So the podcast is interviewing inspiring people for them to share their story to motivate others so that for the people I'm interviewing, the listeners can resonate with the story and really feel like they connect and can also really achieve their goals from the people I'm interviewing. And for the speaking piece, it's so that, I mean, I'm really sort of targeting youth, and I think that is the biggest group of people who can be influenced for change at this point. And athletes, because I have been an athlete and I'm not a professional athlete now, although I am training for my first marathon in October, which is exciting.
Oh, wow.
And adults, because, well, I'm an adult now, and I think that no matter what age you are, there's always going to be goals that you want to go after. And I think it's really important that, you know, people feel that it doesn't matter how old you are, but you can definitely still go after the things that you want in life. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds wonderful. So what about your story though? What's your story been to get you to this point?
Yeah, great question. So I guess I will sort of rewind a little bit and take it back to, it started when I was 14 and I had a really challenging home life, raised by, I guess, a single mom after my father committed suicide. And I had some childhood abuse in my household, and I started rowing. And rowing took me out of a lot of things that I was really struggling with. And it sort of made me realize that I'm happy doing this. I love doing this. I love the people I'm connecting with. I'm physically challenging myself. And after 4 years of training really hard, I became a world champion at 18, and I guess that was sort of the tipping point for me to think, oh my God, there's so much that not only that I'm capable of, but the community that supported me and the people around me and that everyone is capable of. And I was told I'm too short, too big, not fast, no drive. There's so many things that were holding me back, and I was still able to do that. Since then, I went to study in the US for 6 years, and I've got 3 international degrees, which I'm really proud of because I sort of did that journey myself. Even though I was supported by a lot of friends and family, it was a pretty hard slog, and I didn't have great grades. I was just like in the library and studying all the time. My friends would go to parties and be like, come on, come with us. And I'd be like, no, I have to do this. This is really important for me. And then coming back, I've been able to travel a bit. I ran my first half a few weeks ago, and now I'm running my first full marathon. And when I was in, sorry, my timeline's a little bit disjointed, but in my last job before I came back to Australia, I was coaching and studying in my master's. And in a lot of ways, I was sort of abused in that workplace and I got sexually harassed. And there were a few things that really set me back. I lost my grandfather at the time as well. And I've been through a lot for a young person and it's made me very resilient. And I think that my story can really connect with a lot of different people on different levels. And so I think that it's been really powerful for me to just, instead of sit and wallow in it all, which I was up until recently, I sort of realized, no, I'm going to go out there and empower other people. And I think I've known, which I think a lot of people do from a young age, that I've always wanted to help people and I love people. But trying to figure out what that looks like has been quite challenging, I guess, in this journey. And when I started in social work just over a year ago, it was beautiful. Like I was able to sit down and help people, but I felt drained because I wasn't channeling it correctly. And now I'm realizing that it's not so much about sitting down and talking about the problems that people have, but instead to set goals with them and to make them feel empowered. And I leave every visit with three goals that that family has to have. And I say, you can change your life for the better. And I want you to feel that that is an option for you. And sometimes that, you know, it may not always work out and the timing may not be great for them, but it's more so that they feel like when they leave, like this weight has been lifted off their chest and they can go after what they want despite their circumstances, you know, whether it's their income or domestic violence or child abuse or substance, whatever it is. I feel that because I was able to do it, that anyone can, and understand that it may not be that easy for everyone, but I want people to feel that that is an option and that, you know, you can achieve your goals. So I guess that's kind of just in my story.
Yeah, wow. And that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Now, you've mentioned a couple of times there's been tipping points for change and that along the way. When you made those decisions to change or go on a different way in your journey, was it like a lightning bolt, things that come to you like all of a sudden, right, I've got to do this? Or was it the slow rumble leading up to this, oh, no, I've got to change direction?
I want to say that it was a lightning bolt in my thoughts and I just sort of thought stuck. Like when I was 14, I was like, this isn't me. This isn't what I want. How can I do this differently? And I guess it was the 4 years of hard training and I saw so much progress with rowing, unlike other sports. I joke with people that I used to play like soccer and stuff and the coach would be like, you can run, but you really can't kick a ball. Like just stand there and like just kind of guard people and just run in circles. I'd be like, okay, I'll do it. I'll do that. But with rowing, it was like, as soon as I picked up the oars, it was like, no, this is so me and I love this. And I saw so much progress. You know, I won a bunch of medals in the single sculls. And then it just kind of went from there. And I love the people that I met. I had such a supportive network. And I went down, I used to walk to the rowing shed every morning. It was really great. And the guys that I trained with and the girls were like my brothers and sisters. And it was awesome. So that was progressive. And then even with the study, like it was 6 years, it was like, yes, I'm going to get, you know, an undergrad and a master's from this. That is progressive. And now with my most recent change, I actually came back from, I was in London, or it was Nepal and then London this year. And I came back and I was talking to my sister and I said, I feel like I've accomplished so much in my life, but I just feel like I'm stuck at a point where there's so much for me and I'm not achieving that. And so since sort of May, I guess, I went on this change and I spoke to an awesome hypnotherapist, his name's Stuart Walter, and I worked with him. And, you know, since then I've been setting up my own business. And oh, I can't tell you how much I love the people that I've been fortunate enough to interview. It's so cool, like learning people's stories. And I fully appreciate like this whole, you know, podcast and it's just so beautiful. Like, I've not met someone who I just don't feel so inspired by, and I leave these conversations, I'm like, the world is amazing. Like, this is so cool. So progressive in my actions, but in my thoughts, I knew that something needed to change. And so that's kind of just been like the quick fix, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like you're a really determined person. Like, you're very persistent, and you like keep that up with that consistency to get where you want to do, like, to do what you want to do. But have you had challenges along the way that made you feel like throwing in the towel, thinking, oh, it's just too hard to open my own business, or, you know, or to study, or whatever it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, I fought with my mum left, right and center when I was like 14, and it was just like, what is going on? And having that support, you know, because both parents weren't really there for my sister and I growing up, and that's pretty tough. Like, that's kind of your rock as a kid. And yeah, I guess that's just a drive. I've always had like a fire in my belly, and I think like this sounds like kind of morbid actually, but like, what I love on my tombstone is like, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. And I think that's always been me. Like, I'm sort of tall for a girl, I guess, but I was always short for a role, and I've always had this huge fire in my belly, and it's sort of a bit crazy, I guess. Everything I do in life, I go 110%, and I don't look back, and I just think that I could never half-heart things. And I think that's why when I look at people and, you know, they're not happy with their lives, or they're not giving things 110%, I just think, what is it that's holding you back, and what can make you go for that? Because yeah, I've just never been one to to not, and that's why I was drinking a lot of caffeine not too long ago. But I realized that when I stopped drinking it, that I was just as crazy. So I'm determined. So the setbacks have been there, you know, like when I was overseas, I felt really alone at times, and I did miss my family, which is why I've come back. And then when I started in social work, it was like, oh my gosh, there's so many problems, like everything's wrong. And then it was sort of, no, it's the approach that I'm having to this. Like, I need to empower those people and let them know that they can change their situation, rather than just talking about their problems. Because I mean, no matter who you talk to every day, if you just go up and you talk about their problems, it will feel like you're just wallowing in this like black hole. But if you change the outlook of things and just say like, no, that's happened, but how are you going to move forward and change your life? I think that's sort of the defining factor sort of thing.
So, yeah. So what about putting one foot in front of the other? It seems that you've got a bit of an idea. You want to go out into business, move from the social work into your own business. Do you have a big vision? Is that what keeps you going?
Yeah, I'm looking at my little vision board right now, and I had an audio I was listening to every morning. I keep the same thing on my phone and my laptop background. Yeah, so I have sort of goals in every area of my life that I want to accomplish, and realistically, it will take time to do those things. You know, I have a trainer at the moment, and I'm running, you know, most days, and that's for my health. For my business, you know, I'm working as a social worker every day to empower other people. You know, in terms of the other things, my business, it's progressing with the podcast and with the speaking. I have a mentor at the moment I'm working with, you know, and I started going to Toastmasters, which is so different to anything I've ever done, but really cool. I'm learning a ton. So yeah, it's sort of a huge vision, and it's something I had when I was 14. I was the biggest nerd. I used to have all these pictures on all my school books and like my training diary with of people that were world champion rowers and Olympians, and I used to just look at that and think, oh, I'm gonna be there one day. And at the time, it was probably just like the biggest joke for people, but for me, it was a no-brainer. It was going to happen. It was just a matter of when. And I remember the first time I went to the world championships. It was when I was in year 12 in high school, and I actually was on oxygen after every race, and I was scared for my life. I didn't know if I would row again. I didn't know, you know, if this was the right sport for me. And I came out of that situation questioning everything. And if I had thrown in the towel then, it would have all been over, and I probably would have been a very sad person at the moment. But I thought I had the next year to go to juniors again, and that opportunity for me was just, no, I'm winning this time. That was a crap experience and that's not happening again. And I think that in other areas of my life now, I like to aspire to that sort of same drive mentality.
Wow, that's amazing. What about possibilities then? Like, you've spoken about, you know, you're doing, going to do the speaking circuit and your podcast now, but what new possibilities have opened up for you now you've taken on this direction?
So at this stage, it's, well, my mentor I've been working with, she's an amazing public speaker, and I hope she doesn't mind me name dropping. So Sonia is her name, and she is phenomenal and just such a beautiful, caring person who's so willing to support me. And I think I'll really enjoy working with her. And as well, the people that I've been able, fortunate enough to interview, have been so incredible in their own field. I've been fortunate enough to interview CEOs of companies, elite athletes who have gone, you know, to the Olympics, won other world championship medals, just people that, you know, in all sorts of different sports, you know, snowboarding, running, rowing, like these people that I feel like I never would have had the opportunity to speak to before, you know, footballers like my trainer at the gym. It's just phenomenal. And I think the thing that I love the most about it, and it, because it is still early stages, is that I feel that I have this idea that we walk around every day and we, you know, talk to people on this sort of surface level. That's like, oh, hello, how are you? And, you know, that's lovely. And like, it's good to be kind to people. But you never really ask those deeper questions. And I think that in my sort of being able to interview these people, it's that I ask them their challenges and how they've moved forward and how they've gotten out of these things. And the way that they, you know, encompass it with generosity and kindness and determination. And it's in this way that's like, that was, this is all part of my journey, has been really cool. And so just knowing people at a different level and seeing how they've been successful has just been, oh, it's so cool. I love it.
Yeah, that sounds like really exciting. So that was my next question though. What exciting thing are you looking forward to in the future?
So I just want to be able to interview as many people as possible. I want the motivational speaking to take off, especially in schools, because I remember when I was 14 and given what I was growing up with, and I don't remember having a ton of friends or having, you know, the best home life. But if I had someone stand in front of me and say, I'm a world champion, you can do this. Like, you don't need to have the best parents, all the money in the world or everything, everyone telling you you can do it. But you just need that little fire in your belly and the few people you do have supporting you to get through. That I think it would have made such a big difference. And I think, you know, that is my huge target audience, is to influence. I mean, every school kid in the world would be phenomenal. So it's just about working up to that and have, you know, one-on-ones with athletes and adults as well to just kind of come to me and say, these are the things we want to achieve. Can you help me get there? And just kind of overcoming the barriers that we all face, because it's true, like every day we're up against, some people it's a struggle to get out of bed, and other people they're fighting to, you know, make the Olympics or whatever it is. So that's kind of, yeah, my goal is to just influence as many people as possible, and especially school age kids.
Yeah, I think that's like really inspiring, because, you know, the kids are where it is, isn't it? Like, that's our new generation. And, you know, I think back as well, if we just had someone there that we could look up to and actually talk to and, you know, find out a bit more about what it actually takes, and, you know, just to really inspire you to reach those goals that they've got, that many of them just go, nah, I could never do that now. So I think that's really, really inspiring. I love that.
Yeah. I think a huge, sorry, just to add on to that.
Yeah.
I think a huge part of it that I've noticed too is that, you know, when I was younger and like sort of younger generations too, because I grew up a bit with my older sister, she's only 2 years older, but yeah, I guess a bit of a generation shift, is that especially in Australia, you know, we had so many people that were active and like there was such a huge community. What I sort of noticed was that we sort of took for granted this idea that we were always going to have good athletes in Australia. You know, we saw so many good swimmers growing up on the Olympics. We're always winning medals. Athletics is another one. We've been fortunate in rowing to have won quite a few. And, you know, now from the most recent Olympics I've seen, I didn't watch all the events, admittedly, or follow like every medal tally or anything, but I guess we, you know, as the youth of Australia, we haven't developed that area of athletics as much as we used to. And I think that we're so busy, you know, doing things in our life on like social media, you know, in the phone, on the screen and things like that, that we've taken that for granted, that people are outside and doing things and developing that, and we're relying on, you know, institutes of sport or people who are just talented. You know, it's like there's this idea in athletics that, oh, you're talented, you know, you've got potential is a big word. And I want kids rather who are like me and who aren't the best fit, you know, too short, not fast, not enough passion, for them to have some drive in the belly and to go out there and do it because they can, and someone told them that they could, and believe in themselves, because we can't rely on that idea that we're all just going to be talented and have potential anymore. Like, you know, there needs to be people. There's so many out there, athletes that are motivational speakers encouraging kids to do that. But I'd hope that to share my story with kids so that it would hit a chord with one kid or, you know, multiple. So,
yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. All right, let's have a change in pace and do the speed round.
Okay, awesome.
What's your favorite book?
My favorite, so it would be the one my granddad gave me when I was, or probably more recently, it's How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Yeah, it's a good one, isn't it?
Oh, it's beautiful. He gave it to everyone in our family.
Oh, I love it. What about a mentor figure that's helped you the most?
I've had quite a few. Something really important for me is to have a strong male figure, because I lost my dad so young. I've always sort of had this idea. It's gone in waves throughout my life. So when I went to Syracuse University for my undergrad in America, it was my head coach, Justin Moore. He was like the dad you always wanted, tough love and like told you how it is. And then after that, I worked a bit with another coach, Jim Lister, who was bloody phenomenal. He was also at Syracuse. And then I'd say throughout my whole life, it's been my granddad. He was just so kind and generous. And no matter who asked him to, you know, for their support or whatever, he would be there. He was at all my races as a kid. You know, no questions asked, supported me when I was overseas. And, he was just phenomenal.
So. Oh, how wonderful. What daily ritual do you have that works best for you?
So at the moment, it's probably about a 5 or 10 minute meditation in the morning. Yep. Sometimes I meditate so well, I fall asleep like this morning. but at the moment, I think that's huge for me. Just being patient and slowing down, because I'm such a fast paced person. So
yeah. What's your favorite food?
Favorite food. Oh, I love the oats I made for breakfast the other morning. It's got like chocolate protein powder and berries in it. So it's like a chocolate souffle. It's amazing.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Do you like the country or the city?
Oh, I'd say the country, but I think a combination of both is amazing, because I've sort of lived in both and I love, you know, going out with friends and that, and having that city life and, you know, the choice of restaurants and that fun stuff. But the country, I think I've always loved running and being in nature, and I think it's such a huge part of, you know, just exploring the world. And I've really loved running at the moment with the group I'm with and hiking. We had some interesting adventures on the weekend. But yeah, I'd say country. Yeah, I guess if I had to pick.
Oh, nice. Do you have a piece of advice you can give to others to help them make change in their life?
Definitely. I think the biggest thing is be the best version of yourself every day. And, you know, nobody in the world knows how powerful you are except for yourself. And so I think the people that help you realize that along the way are really incredible. Everyone is powerful beyond measure, and it's just about finding what that looks like. So I think that's really been.
Yeah, great advice. Great advice. All right, last question. If you had a time machine, what would you go back and do differently or tell your former self?
I think I'd go back to when I was 14 and just tell myself, that I love who I was. And I think it's taken way too long for me to realize how awesome I really am, and for other people to see it too, because I was just so jaded and so guarded. And I just tell that girl, like, you are freaking awesome. Like, love yourself, because you're the best person that's ever going to be there in your life. And that's the best thing you could have. And like, to share that light with other people is just, oh, it's so cool when it works. And I've just noticed so many great for like relationships and conversations I've been able to have since I've just kind of let my guard down and be the best version of myself.
That's what I do. I love that. Well, you certainly are awesome, and thank you so much for your valuable time today and also sharing your story. And I love what you're actually doing, and I can't wait to listen to some of your podcasts. So would you like to give us the best place to contact you, and we'll end it there?
I would love that. Yeah, no, thank you so much. Like, this has been really change of pace, because I've been interviewing people, so to share my story has been really exciting. So thank you so much. So my website is www.aspirebeyondgreatness.com.au, and my podcast will be coming out on iTunes, which is also Anna Kaczynski's Aspire Beyond Greatness. So that's the best place to reach me.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Igniters, being the best version of yourself every day is certainly something to aspire to. Anna shows that being through all those challenges from early in her childhood to now has left her determined to be there for other young people. If you want to contact Anna, find her as Anna Kaczynski on Facebook, LinkedIn, or Instagram. For finding out how you can change your life around, go to my website, leanneblaney.com.